Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
Tonight, we want to continue to, as we not so much celebrate the 40th anniversary of Jonestown and the Jim Jones cult, the People's Temple, but we want to continue to look at some of the individuals involved. We've looked already in the past at Laura Johnston Cole, who was a survivor, but we also wanted to look at a book called Cult City, and actually Daniel Flynn, an interview that I heard on Janet Medford's program originally that kind of was a current event that I wanted to report on, and it's all timely because of the Jim Jones anniversary, 40th anniversary of that horrible mass suicide in Guyana. But we had left off, I had been sharing about her life, Laura Cole's life, and some articles concerning her experience, and I ran out of time. So I really had wanted to just to say that keep Mrs. Cole in prayer. The last part of the article that I was reading from, she had shared that in San Marcos, where she's at, she noticed lumps on her arm and went to the doctor. The diagnosis was soft tissue sarcoma, and prescription radiation and chemotherapy. And so, you know, at last Sunday's Jonestown Remembrance approached, Cole worried that her cancer treatment might keep her from Oakland. She asked her doctor if it was okay to go, and he said, you know, live your life. So I'd like you to remember this lady in prayer. She is a Quaker, and as you may remember, last week we looked at the Quaker religion, which at this point in time has pretty much become quite a strange thing. I won't go back into you know, last week's topic or information on that so much, but just to say that 14% of Quakers count themselves as atheists now, and 42% really are more of an agnostic persuasion. And we looked at the liberal group of, you know, the four branches, basically, of, if you will, of Quakerism. And I had gone to Bible college with a man who was a Quaker, and I always thought that they were pretty much Christians who may have had a little odd mystical bent towards them. Or at least, at the very least, I thought, well, there are some Quakers who are Christians, and there probably are. Of course, I don't want to sound arrogant here or anything, but this is a discernment program. And so we had looked into that, and the fact that Mrs. Cole is an atheist, but also a Quaker, it really threw me. And so I had commented on that last week and just wanted to mention that the fact that she's a liberal Quaker, she was liberal in politics, she's still a political activist, but the name of the article was After 40 Years, Jonestown Survivor Still Struggles with Tragedy's Legacy Lessons. And of course now she has cancer, and so I thought you might remember her in prayer that she might come to know Christ. I don't believe she does, of course, claims to be an atheist, so it's pretty apparent that she doesn't. It's a sad story to come out of a cult and I think still really cling to a lot of her liberal views and ideas, and certainly is not a believer in Christ, even though she's involved with the Quakers, who many would confuse with being somewhat of a Christian group. Anyway, it's kind of a strange situation, but I learned more about the Quakers and that whole situation than what I had known before. So, having said that, I'd like to move to the second part of our look at the Jim Jones phenomenon. And as I mentioned, I had heard a great interview on Janet Mefford's some time ago, several months ago, and basically in the interview, the author Daniel Flynn told about Jim Jones being in bed at the time, you know, figuratively, if not literally, huh? I'll just leave it, figuratively, with the California Democratic Party in general, and particularly the intersecting lives of the sodomite Harvey Milk, who's a big hero, of course, out in San Francisco, and the intersecting lives of Harvey Milk and Jim Jones. This further confirmed what I knew about the cult leader and his work with the Democrats. And, you know, I have been doing a lot of different podcasts over quite a period of time on the progressives, emergents, contemplatives, and other liberal Christians, liberal Christian wolves, I guess you could say, really, who, you know, I think the best thing to describe a lot of the people that are involved in the progressive type movement and people who claim to be Christian, but who are into interfaith, you know, with other religions, etc. The old expression that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. The social gospel, which of course is what these people are so involved with because, you know, they want to help the poor and feed everybody and do all the good deeds that they're doing, is really their ticket to salvation, I suppose, the way they misconstrue and misinterpret Matthew 25. And I'll let you read that on your own, that chapter. But that speaks of future prophecy events involving Israel and others, and they have turned it into a work salvation type thing where you need to make sure you feed enough poor and, you know, visit enough people in prison and give up enough cups of water and all that. Otherwise, you know, God's really going to be upset with you because of their misunderstanding of all that. And so that's why I say that old expression, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, really rings true here, I think, because there are many that are leading that movement, the progressives and the emergents, who are basically apostates when it comes to biblical Christianity. But with the social gospel, they are able to promote what they would call, you know, socialized Christianity, I guess you could say, or basically sort of a compatibility with socialism and Christianity, and back that up with a few verses taken out of context in the New Testament. And so the problem is there's always the people who follow, the followers who have not studied the scripture close enough. And so the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Hey, I want to go out and help the poor and all that. Well, that's great. We have a food pantry at my church. We want to help people. But the most important food or bread that we can give them is the bread of life, and that's the gospel. And that's something you don't find, of course, in most of the liberal circles, or at least you don't find the biblical understanding of the gospel. So anyway, I've kind of ranted on about that for a while, but I remember that old expression, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. That really speaks to what's going on with the social justice warriors and the social gospel. It's really from a lack of knowing the true God and understanding the true God is what leads folks to on their way to hell, actually, just like the cults who are trying to work their way to God and into pleasing God. But they're on their way to hell, and they need to know the truth and the true gospel. So, you know, pray for Laura Johnston Cole. I don't believe she's an atheist. She needs prayer. And so we want to take a look now. As I said, I had heard this interview, and it was fascinating, with Daniel J. Flynn, who wrote the book Cult City. And I have that interview in front of me. Well, I don't have that interview. I'm sorry. As I mentioned on one of the earlier podcasts, I had difficulty locating that interview on the internet. So I turned to a couple of other individuals and their programs as they also interviewed Daniel Flynn. Someone named Eric Metaxas. I don't know if some of you are familiar with him. But he spoke to Daniel Flynn, and he mentioned in 1977 Jim Jones and some of the fake faith healing he was doing, which is Laura Johnston Cole also described, and I've seen in the commentaries and some of that was going on. and of course, the liberal Democrats, they really liked Harvey Milk, who was active in politics in San Francisco at that time. He was the first gay mayor, actually, at the time, and he had praised Jim Jones along with people like George Moscone and Willie Brown, who was also a former mayor, Democrat. All these are Democrats, of course, liberal Democrats. He was also the mayor of San Francisco, and they all praised Jim Jones at the time. Jim Jones, according to Daniel Flynn, and I actually saw a picture of him that he had taken with Rosalind Carter, Jimmy Carter's wife at the time, when he was having his people help in their Democratic rallies and such. And so he would offer his volunteers to go and to help some of the Democratic leading political figures. And so he would have them go to the rallies and support them in various ways, volunteering their time, of course, because they, being in the cult, weren't able to really use their own time the way they would have liked. They thought they liked serving their leader, Jim Jones, I suppose. But anyway, and Flynn made that point that not only did Jim Jones offer his people to help the Democrats, but then they also gave Jim Jones legitimacy. Of course, as I say, because they all praised Jim Jones at the time. excuse me. excuse me. He had helped Milk and Harvey Milk, and Milk had told... By the way, there was a movie called Milk. I think that was the name of it, or Harvey Milk. And I forgot the guy who was the in the movie, but... you know, it was obviously highly praised, and people have not gotten the whole story about Harvey Milk, of course, and we hope to touch on that. Of course, Daniel Flynn does a much better job of that than I could in his research, but Harvey Milk told Jimmy Carter that Jimmy Jones was a figure that was held in high regard in many of the minority circles, you know, in the minority communities. In fact, that was one of his claims to fame. Jim Jones and his wife had adopted the first black children in the state of Indiana, where he was from. and so because of the fact that Harvey Milk had told Jimmy Carter about Jim Jones' figure, his popularity amongst minority people, that eventually Rosalynn Carter, who I mentioned earlier, came to San Francisco, and and it was interesting because also he made the comment that Jane Fonda also wanted to be a member of People's Temple. Now, I should comment at this point in time that Jimmy Carter, one of the big claims of fame that he had when he was running for office was he was always talking about being born again. Well, only God knows a man's heart. I hope Jimmy Carter has been born again, but I have some reasons to doubt that, because of some of the liberal views that he has on a variety of things. Really, the anti-Semitism against Israel really bothers me about as much as anything. But as you find in liberal circles, oftentimes, and in cults, theological terms are redefined. And so for somebody to say they're born again, you have to ask them what they mean by that and what they really mean by that, and test out if they believe in the essential truths of Christianity, etc., and what kind of definitions that they give you. And you know, you can't really be a Christian if you follow a lot of the viewpoints of the political liberals, who of course go hand in hand with the progressives. The progressives, they call themselves in politics, but they also call themselves that in so-called Christian circles and churches. And so you can't really be a Christian if you follow their views, I don't believe, of killing babies and homosexual marriage, redefining God's marriage, what God has defined as marriage, and redefining it, and various other things. You know, I don't, you know, God says, I will bless those who bless Israel and curse those who curse Israel. So, you know, that's the thing. The most important thing is, where do they stand on the essential issues? And, in other words, the essential issues of Christianity, the official cardinal doctrines of truth, and certainly the other topics that I just mentioned would have to, you know, you'd have to consider that when somebody says they're a Christian. What are they practicing? What are they promoting? So when people give you a redefinition of their theological terms or biblical terms, even their gospel, they've redefined, and they call it the social gospel. Because they want to bring sort of a heaven on earth here. I prefer to leave that to Jesus Christ, as he's going to bring the millennial reign himself. He doesn't need our help. He just needs us to allow him to work through us to finish the Great Commission. The liberal progressives, they feel like we also have a mandate, and that is the social gospel, to go out and create some kind of a socialistic world, which really plays into the hands of Antichrist, who will bring a one-world government as well as a one-world religion. But getting back to Jane Fonda, who wanted to be a member of People's Temple, You should pray for her, of course, as well. Pray for Jimmy Carter. He's still alive, I believe. pray for Jane Fonda. You know, she wanted to be a member of People's Temple. Well, at once upon a time, she also claimed to be, you know, a born-again Christian like Jimmy Carter. And, you know, everybody thought that was so exciting, and I included. You know, I thought, wow, man, that is a real change for her. Isn't that wonderful? Because anybody can be saved. The worst of people can be saved. You know, I got saved. You know, that should tell you something if you knew me. Well, anyway, none of us think we're that bad, I guess. But I'm thankful that the Lord saved me out of my sinful life. I was thankful to hear that Jane Fonda had been saved. But later, and I've mentioned this on other programs, is that Jane Fonda reached a place to where she wanted and needed, she felt, to distance herself from fundamentalist Christians. In other words, man, don't get the wrong idea. Just because I said I'm a Christian or a born-again Christian, don't think I'm like those people, you know, who, of course, I would say are the real Christians, the people who believe in the fundamentals of the Christian faith from the Word of God. Well, how else could you call yourself a Christian if you don't follow the fundamentals and the essential truths of Scripture? But, well, it turns out that Jane Fonda actually was a neo-Gnostic. She actually believed in a form of one of the earliest heresies that plagued the early church and has been recycled by the devil throughout the history of the church, even unto today. You find New Age elements in the New Age movement and in New Thought and other mind science cults. And so Jane Fonda was nothing like a Christian, but through her practicing the redefinition of theological terms, people started believing she was a Christian. Now, excuse me, the gentleman, and I shouldn't probably use the term gentleman, but the individual who actually assassinated Harvey Milk, if you remember that story, he was actually a protege of Dianne Feinstein and a political rival of Harvey Milk, but he was very liberal. He was not a homophobe, which of course is what the left immediately wanted to paint him as. This is what the left always does. Something bad happens. Oh, there's a mass shooting. Oh, well, you know, there had to be a conservative, and they'll come out and with some kind of a leak or some kind of an inaccurate report so often and say that the individual was a conservative, a crazed, you know, gun-hungry, you know, kind of person. And in reality, more often than not, it turns out they all have liberal views and, you know, sometimes it may have nothing to do with politics, but that is the standard operating procedure of the left to immediately mark, you know, the mass shooter as, oh, yeah, yeah, we think he was a conservative, you know. And in this case, oh, yeah, this guy Dan White who killed the homosexual Harvey Milk, well, he was actually a homophobe, and that's why he did it. But the truth is Dan White, according to Daniel Flynn, the author of Cult City, said that the Dan White, he had alliances with Hollywood and the media and Jerry Brown and Willie Brown. Of course, they thought, as I said, well, Willie Brown, as I mentioned before, thought Jim Jones was a great guy. And Jerry Brown, no relation. The Brown brothers, they were not related, but of course, but except for in their far left wing politics. But anyway, I got off a little bit there, but Dan White was involved in so many of he championed a lot of the homosexual rights type stuff himself and supported a lot of these things. So Dan White was a political rival, and I don't know what other reasons why he killed Harvey Milk, but it wasn't because he was a homophobe. That is not true. Anyway, and I wanted to share that because this is what you often get. Now, Jim Jones had said that there was no God in heaven, again, according to Daniel Flynn. He had visited Father Divine and got some of his ideas from that cult leader. And he had said that actually at a point where they ran out of toilet paper on the compound there, the People's Temple, they actually used the Bible as toilet paper. And you know, so their view of God, of the Word of God, etc. Jim Jones, that was all a sham. The healing, you know, rallies he did, he appealed to people who had needs to try to get them to follow him. And again, redefining terms, he tried to present himself as a Christian. He was ordained by the Disciples of Christ, which of course is a very liberal denomination. And this is where all this confusion takes place. Harvey Milk's greatest accomplishment, according to Daniel Flynn, was that he championed Jim Jones. Another interview with Daniel Flynn on the Ross Kaminsky show, he said that Jones wouldn't allow Bibles into people's temple, but later Bibles were used for toilet paper. I just mentioned that. And it was actually an atheist group, according to Flynn in this article. In this interview, he said people don't know the basic facts. People were sacrificing their lives for communism, not for God, for communism and for Jones, of course, who was the highest representative of communism and claiming to be God. Jones said that socialism was God, and since he was the embodiment of socialism on earth, that made him God. He certainly was not a fundamental Christian, but after he died, that's what you begin to hear. And you'll see that in these other articles that I'm going to read from. The mayor of San Francisco was appointed to the city housing committee authority. That was Harvey Milk. And later he became the chairman. This is talking about Jim Jones. The mayor of San Francisco, he appointed him to the city housing authority, and then later he became the chairman. That was Jim Jones. And basically Flynn's quote was that he was the largest landlord in the city of San Francisco. That's the guy that ended up having 900 people put to death over in Guyana. This was the largest landlord in San Francisco. They need a little clear thinking there, don't they? Some even to this day. It says, don't think of people who killed people like Bundy and John Wayne Gacy and Charles Manson as people who held positions of power in major American cities. In other words, he was making the point of, you don't think of people like that, Ted Bundy and John Wayne Gacy, all these serial killers and all. You don't think of them as people who held positions of power in major American cities, but Jim Jones did. And that's unbeknownst to a lot of folks. Rosalind Carter referred him to her sister-in-law, Jean Carter Stapleton, and she, of course, was involved with the practice known as inner healing, which had a certain element of danger to it. I remember it's not a real sound thing, this particular thing that she was promoting. Now, Huey Newton was the one, and he was a Black Panther who came up with the idea of a revolutionary suicide. And that was the name of a book he wrote, in fact. And Jim Jones can week. I'm not going to say much about that. But and he told him that they would reincarnate after their suicides. The White Knights were really a preparation for mass suicide if needed, which apparently was needed in the eyes of Jim Jones and the people who blindly followed him. Harvey Milk, what they would do is they would have them worked up in fear that someday you may face an apocalypse, sort of a nuclear apocalypse, and that white, white racists, Ku Klux Klan and people like that would come. Maybe that's why they called it White Knights. I'm not sure. But it was a fear-provoking thing, and it was a control mechanism that he had over the people and preparing them for the potential of committing suicide. Now, Harvey Milk was, of course, a politician, as we've said, he never went anywhere in his political career until he met Jones, according to Daniel Flynn. He's done a lot of research in his book. I haven't read the book, by the way, but I'm looking forward to it. I've read the articles and I've heard the interviews. Milk gave Jones legitimacy. We've heard a little bit about that before, about legitimacy given to other Democrats in San Francisco at the time by Jones. And then Jones gave Milk volunteers, etc., for some of their rallies. Jones wrote the Secretary of Health and Education and Welfare, and his name was Joseph Calvana, that Jonestown was a beautiful retirement community. Yes, it was a beautiful country, I don't doubt that, and it certainly was a place where a lot of people retired, but they retired permanently a little quicker than what they thought. So this was complete propaganda, but this is what Jones told the present Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare at that time. Dan White, as I mentioned in the other interview that he gave Daniel Flynn gave, was a protege of Feinstein. He didn't kill Milk because Milk was gay, and Dan White attended the largest fundraiser for gay rights in the history of the U.S. up to that point. That's what I was trying to remember earlier when I was sharing from my notes. White, Daniel White, was in San Francisco, and the he was in San Francisco, and he was a Democrat. You know, the Democrats were just like him, etc. He was all part of that whole thing. Harvey Milk, I mentioned the movie. It is called Milk. And in San Francisco Airport, the Terminal 1, the number one terminal there, is named in honor of Harvey Milk. So all you hear is good things about Harvey Milk. Now, let's look at this article from the American Conservative blog here. Jim Jones and Harvey Milk, The Secret History. Next month marks the 40th anniversary, and this is by Rod Dreyer, and this was from October 15th, 2018. Next month marks the 40th anniversary of two landmark events of American popular culture, the assassination of pioneering gay politician Harvey Milk and the mass suicide of 900 members of the People's Temple cult. If you remember anything about the mass suicide, it's probably the cult leader Jim Jones, is that he was... The cult leader Jim Jones was a fundamentalist Christian demon whose Bible-thumping, berated, brainwashed followers, or he berated brainwashed followers into drinking cyanide-laced Kool-Aid. Actually, it was Flavor-Aid, which was a knockoff for what it's worth. It wasn't actually Kool-Aid, but now we have the expression, you know, they drank the Kool-Aid. Harvey Milk, by contrast, is a folk hero. The San Francisco supervisor became a gay rights saint because he was martyred by a right-wing fanatic. Again, another lie. Now, Jim Jones was a fundamentalist Christian demon, and Harvey Milk was assassinated or martyred by a right-wing fanatic, this guy named, you know, White. You'd think somebody would do their homework, and apparently Dan Flynn has, but people forget. And I remember hearing that, sure, oh, Jim Jones, yeah, he was one of those really crazy fundamentalist guys. Yeah, you can't trust those people. Well, anyway, we're going to continue with this article next week. We got our foot in the door. I'll probably just start back over with the article. But thank you for being with us this week. We're continuing to look at, we really launched from the midterm elections here in the U.S., and some of the different things taking place and just showing some of the connection with liberal politicians, etc. And we've now gone to this event, which I've been wanting to share for quite some time. So thank you. I hope you'll be back next week. God bless you.